relish Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures. It emanated from the lips of Sri Shukadeva Goswami. Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. And continuing the purport on page 59. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are narrated, and the narration is systematically depicted by Srila Shukadeva Goswami. Thus, the subject matter is appealing to all classes of persons, including those who seek liberation and those who seek to become one with the Supreme Whole. In Sanskrit, the parrot is known also as Shuka. When a ripened fruit is cut by the red beaks of such birds, its sweet flavor is enhanced. The Vedic fruit, which is mature and ripe in knowledge, is spoken through the lips of Srila Sukadeva Goswami, who is compared to the parrot, not for his ability to recite the Bhagavatam exactly as he heard it from his learned father, but for his ability to present the work in a manner that would appeal to all classes of men. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tathati Supadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Stam Sajima Shadvaitam Shavadhutam Pradishana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bantho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Moli Priye Panchako Pitrubhyascha Kupasindho Vyayavacha Putitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sukumukha Adamrita, Travasanguta. These message of Srimad Bhagavatam is said to be the ripe fruit of the desire tree of Vedic knowledge. There are other fruits, such as the fruits of karmakanda, pious activities, or mental speculation, but the impersonal liberation also. But the fruit of love of Krishna is the real ripe fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge. And sukumukhad amrita, it was already nectar, amrita, coming from the platform of immortality. And just so ripe that you could hardly say that it was solid or not solid. It's just like semi-solid when the fruit is perfectly ripe. You can just drink it practically. And Shukamukha, it's come from the mouth of Srila Shukadeva Goswami. And therefore it's become more sweet. Prabhupada says when the fruit is touched by the beak of a parrot, it becomes more sweet. Someone who actually owns a mango grove told me that this is a fact. When the parrot pecks at the fruit, somehow it creates like a little spot, and the sugar is drawn to that spot, and it becomes more sweet still. So the poetic comparison is given. Shuka means parrot. So Shukadev Goswami is the main speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam to King Parikshit. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that it was more his ability to present it in an appealing manner, suitable for all sorts of people, than simply to recite it exactly as he heard it. That's the method of speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not simply rote recitation, but according to what one has understood, that's called realization. Prabhupada said realization means the ability to present it in your own words. That means you actually have to have assimilated it. If you're explaining surgery, for example, if you don't know surgery but you've read a book, you can recite, if you have a good memory, recite word for word from the book what you've read. First you do this, then you do this, 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 this. But you won't have understood a word of it, and your audience isn't going to understand a word of it. But if you've actually understood it, then you can make it understandable, even for the simplest layman. That's the gift. Scientific writers who know how to make things simple, know how to make things clear for everyone, they're very much appreciated. Someone who can take something complex like relativity or quantum theory and present it in terms that even an ordinary person can understand, that's very nice. But to do that, you have to understand it. You can't bluff. You can't simply repeat the words that you've heard. You have to understand those words. That's the sign of, or even a mechanic. If a mechanic, he's trying to explain to the lady what's wrong with her car. If he can explain it in such a way that even she can understand, that means he's really a good mechanic. He's understood the thing, and he can explain it even in such a way that anyone can understand. Mechanics, music theory, a person who really understands it can explain harmony and quarter notes and half notes and melody and fugues and so many things. He can explain it in such a way that anyone will be able to understand, because he's actually understood and appreciated the thing. So that's... I had two Latin teachers, actually. The one was an elderly lady who loved her subject, and she could explain anything in such a way, anything related to Latin in such a way that it would be absolutely fascinating. So I took her an overview course, and it was just wonderful. And so I signed up for the regular first year Latin course. And of course, that year she retired. And she was replaced by a young woman just out of teacher's college, I think, who couldn't explain anything. She knew, more or less, but she couldn't explain it in a way that, what are declensions? What are conjugations? What are all these things for? Why different case endings? Why different? No, they couldn't explain in such a way that you'd want to know, or that you could make sense out of it. So it became torture. The same subject that had been so interesting became absolute torture. Same subject. So one who's got a deep appreciation and realization and can explain it for the benefit of others is Sukadeva Goswami. He actually had those qualifications. And so the Bhagavatam becomes more relishable. The subject matter is so presented through the lips of Srila Sukadeva Goswami that any sincere listener that hears submissively can at once relish transcendental tastes, which are distinct from the perverted tastes of the material world. And that we discussed yesterday, the relationships of this material world and the relationships of the spiritual world are different. The ripened fruit is not dropped all of a sudden from the highest planet of Krishna Loka. Rather, it has come down carefully through the chain of disciplic succession without change or disturbances. In the mango groves, it's not that you just bang on the mango tree till the fruit falls. Then it falls and hits the ground and you get mango juice everywhere, or the fruit bruises, or it's not very good. That's not how you do it. You send one man up in the tree, and then below him you have another man. And that man, first man, hands it down to the second man, and if there's a third man, it's handed down that way. So then the tree on the ground, you get the fruit, not just dropped all of a sudden from the highest branch, but handed down from one person to the next, so that it's just the way it came off the top, all nice and juicy and tasty, not banged around and bruised and mixed with the topsoil and everything, eaten by the birds. It's very nicely handed down. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is handed down in the parampara system, the disciplic succession, from spiritual master to disciple, one after another. Foolish people who are not in the transcendental disciplic succession commit great blunders by trying to understand the highest transcendental rasa, known as the rasa dance, without following in the footsteps of Sukadeva Goswami, who presents this fruit very carefully by stages of transcendental realization. One should be intelligent enough to know the position of Srimad Bhagavatam by considering personalities like Sukadeva Goswami, who deals with the subject so carefully. This process of disciplic succession of the Bhagavat school suggests that in the future also Srimad Bhagavatam has to be understood by a person who is factually a representative of Srila Sukadeva Goswami. A professional man who makes a business out of reciting the Bhagavatam illegally is certainly not a representative of Sukadeva Goswami. Such a man's business is only to earn his livelihood. Therefore, one should refrain from hearing the lectures of such professional men. Such men usually go to the most confidential part of the literature without undergoing the gradual process of understanding this grave subject. They usually plunge into the subject matter of the rasa dance, which is misunderstood by the foolish class of men. Some of them take this to be immoral, while others try to cover it up by their own stupid interpretations. They have no desire to follow in the footsteps of Srila Sukadeva Goswami. So Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing, one has to hear through the parampara system, not from the professional reciters. In India, there are, especially, they come here sometimes also, there are people who make a profession out of reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. India still has some culture left. Here, practically speaking, there'd be no recitation of, like, you don't hear that we're going to recite the Bible for a week and let's all gather and hear it. Nobody's really interested that way. Although there are people who, but they don't really go through it. And there's not that much of tremendous interest for the public. So in India, of course, now it's becoming the same movie stars and rock stars and so on. But for many generations, there would be, and still there are, people who make a profession out of reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. And they'll go from city to city, town to town, and there'll be a set up a big tent, and sometimes thousands and thousands of people will come. I was at one recitation in New Delhi. They set up an enormous tent outside the Red Fort with tens of thousands of people. And the speaker was sitting way up front, and they had television monitors at intervals so that the people who were way in the back could actually see something. And it was going on for a week, and so many people were coming. And these reciters are very expert. They recite very attractively. They typically have very funny jokes that they tell in the course of things. They have a little band that plays with them so that every now and then they'll have a song. Indian movies are like that also. Typically every now and then the action is punctuated by a song. Everybody breaks into a song and a dance, and then after the song the action resumes. So in the lecture typically there'll be that also. Be some singing and expert musicians, and then some more explanation. But typically the reciters are professional men. This is how they support their family life. Sukadeva Goswami had no family. He left home practically as soon as he was born. He had no family to support. He had no interest in doing business by speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. But these people typically are supporting their family this way. Sometimes they recite Bhagavatam, then another time it'll be Ramayana, another time it will be Shiv Purana, another time it will be something about Durga, another time Ganesh, another time. Whatever will be of interest to the public. And when they recite Bhagavatam, naturally they want to recite something that will be attractive to the maximum number of people. So very often they'll go directly to the most confidential parts of Krishna's pastimes, and especially to the Rasleela, or Krishna's dance with the gopis. And the audience, not having been trained in the science of Krishna systematically, will not understand the subject matter. To understand the most confidential parts of the literature, you have to go through it step by step. You won't get the effect, you won't get the understanding simply by jumping right in. You have to go patiently, step by step. Then when you get to the chapters concerning Krishna's confidential pastimes, you'll appreciate what is going on the transcendental platform with transcendental vision. Otherwise, what happens is that people, it sounds something like the affairs of boys and girls in the material world. That's what all we have to compare it to. So people, in their minds, they're thinking, yes, this is something like what goes on here. And they're thinking in terms of this mundane sex life. They think that this is, as there's enjoyable sex in the material world, Krishna is also involved in such things. They look at it that way, or they give some, as Prabhupada says, stupid interpretation to explain it in some other ways by mental concoction. That's also not wanted. The thing has to be understood as it is. That requires realization and training through the parampara system. Not that we either think, well, this is the same good stuff that we have in the material world, or that we make some imaginary transcendental explanation. Just as in chanting Hare Krishna, there are two offenses. One is not to accept the glories of the holy name, and the other is to make up something about the glories of the holy name. If somebody says, oh, the chanting induces a kind of yogic breathing. Someone says, oh, the chanting does something else, or the chanting, they'll give some imaginary idea that by chanting Hare Krishna, you become attuned to a transcendental force, and you vibrate on the same, you know, they give something imaginary. So that's an offense, to give some concocted explanation. And another offense is not to accept the legitimate explanations given by the Shastras. So it's also an offense to try to make a living out of explaining the pastimes of the Lord in a mundane way or in a concocted way. One has to enter the disciplic succession, the system of parampara. One should conclude, therefore, that the serious student of the rasa should receive the message of Bhagavatam in the chain of disciplic succession from Srila Sukadeva Goswami, who describes the Bhagavatam from its very beginning, and not whimsically to satisfy the mundaner who has very little knowledge in transcendental science. Srimad Bhagavatam is so carefully presented that a sincere and a serious person can at once enjoy the ripened fruit of Vedic knowledge simply by drinking the nectarian juice through the mouth of Srila Sukadeva Goswami or his bona fide representative. So, rasamalaya. Rasamalaya means a place where you get rasa, nectar, or the nectar of transcendental relationships with Krishna. Rasamalaya. Alaya means a place that where you get something, or where a place that's full of, well stocked with something. Like Bhojanalaya, a place where there's food, restaurant. Or Himalaya, the mountains where there's a lot of ice. Oshadhalaya, a place where there's medicine, pharmacy. So, Rasamalaya. Rasamalaya means a place where there's real nectar. So that's here, Srimad Bhagavatam. But that nectar has to be properly received. Otherwise, one will not actually get the right understanding. So it's meant for the serious student, the sincere student. It's not just another entertaining book or another book to speculate about. It's a book to be understood by the seriously inquisitive student from the learned spiritual master who's coming in the disciplic succession from Krishna. Then we'll get the benefit. Nigamako paturor galitam palam shukamukad amrita dravasamyutam pibata bhagavata. Pibata means drink it. It's not simply a book to be read, but it said, drink Srimad Bhagavatam, relish Srimad Bhagavatam. Muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavuka. Rasika means those who can appreciate rasas. Those who are expert in the science of rasas, or those who can relish rasas. Muhuraho, always relish. Don't relish hearing the mundane subject matters. Relish hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Are there some questions or comments?
Who was his disciple?
Maharaj Parikshit. He was king of the world, but he was cursed to die within 7 days by a Brahmin boy. And therefore he renounced his kingdom and went to sit on the bank of the Ganges and for the sake of spiritual realization. At that time he met Srila Sukadeva Goswami. That will be described later in this, toward the end of this first canto. Something else?
Maharaj, Alaya means temple also.
Means, doesn't mean Devalaya. A place where the Deva is there. A place where you get the darshan of Deva, God. So Devalaya. You may say Alaya, but it's Devalaya. Yes?
How can you renounce something when it belongs to God in the first place?
Yeah, there's no renouncing, but then you can renounce the false mentality that it's this is mine, this is mine. That's the idea.
Just to keep things going, thus the subject matter is appealing to all classes of persons, including those who seek liberation and those who seek to become one with the Supreme Whole. So if someone wants to become one with the Lord, how is this subject matter?
How is it appealing to those who are want to become one with the Lord? The thing is that this oneness business is very dry. How long can you go on, hum from asmi, hum from asmi, hum from asmi? I'm spirit, soul, I'm spirit. It becomes very tedious and boring. It's so dry that those who are looking for spiritual realization, they'll look, isn't there a place where I can get something a little tastier? Then if they hear Srimad Bhagavatam, they'll get that taste. And they'll get better than liberation. Generally, the impersonalists refrain from hearing about mundane topics because they know this is mine. But the topics of Bhagavatam are known to be transcendental, and if they give a proper hearing, they can also be attractive. Sukadeva Goswami himself was attractive. Anything else?
Just on that same thing, it seems like impersonalists try to avoid enjoying anything.
Yeah.
So how would they relish this if you know this?
Well, Bhagavatam is known to be Shastra. And it's associated with saintly persons and so on. So they'll even if they may try to see it as representing some higher principle, which ultimately leads to oneness. So they have problems with it, with understanding. But they may give a hearing to it, that this is somehow transcendental. Krishna is divine, whatever. He's Bhagavan. So if they give a little bit of hearing, and if they hear from the right source, they can be cured of their impersonal disease. Is that okay? Muhuraho rasika bhuvibhava. Okay, we can end with one.
I have one other question. Which Srila Sukadeva Goswami, who makes it even more relishable, would it be proper understanding that he makes it more relishable because he explains it in without adding anything or taking anything away, but he explains it so that people could really understand.
Actually, when you read Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book, it's quite amazing that most of the book is just following along the text, verse by verse. But a few words here, a few words there, and it becomes something more. It's astonishing, really, that it's just the text, but the text is presented in such a way that one gets a much deeper understanding from it, especially if you ever read one of these scholarly translations. You know, they just go word for word, they translate what's there, and they may be very good Sanskritists, but you don't get it. The audience doesn't really get an understanding of what's going on here. There are quite good translations from scholarly point of view of Bhagavad Gita, of some of the Gaudiya literature, Bhagavatam, but it doesn't. You don't really get the idea. It just somehow doesn't get through. And you read Prabhupada's books, and it's just presented in such a way that person understands the essence of the message. That's called realization. Something else? Okay, we'll meet again this evening. We can stop here. Hare Krishna.